Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Immediately to my reporter from Oz, Jeremy Zakas. He's in New South Wales, Sydney. And Omicron, since last Jeremy and I spoke, has spread across the continent. We'll begin with the numbers in New South Wales and then look to Queensland, Victoria, and even to Western Australia. Jeremy, a very good day to you. The good news is that Omicron is spreading as it is everywhere else. So there's nothing special about Australia. We're all in this together. It was quite different during the Delta threat because Australia remained locked down, severely restricting all of your liberties, something that we never experienced here in the United States. We were swimming in vaccine. You were waiting for more and more vaccine. You've had the vaccine. You're a heavily vaccinated country. And yet, what do we know about the Omicron now? Starting in New South Wales. Good day to you, Jeremy.
G'day, John. Yes, Omicron has hit us and hit us hard today. We've had 18,278 cases in the past 24 hours. The previous day, we had 22,000 cases in New South Wales alone. Now, these cases include 1,066 that were referred to hospital and 83 in intensive care. Now, as you mentioned there, this is starkly different to when we had the Delta variant threatening and knocking on our doorstep, where effectively any Delta variant case caused basically a nationwide lockdown. Whereas now, because we know much more about the COVID virus, much more about what Omicron is, we're not heading towards any lockdowns right now. So thank goodness we're not losing any liberties. In fact, we're going the other way in many ways. Right now, as I speak, here in New South Wales, we don't actually have to go and get a test anymore for what we used to call a close contact, which was effectively if we'd come in contact with an area where somebody who might have had COVID had been in the previous 24 hours. Now we only need to present for testing if we've actually been inside a household setting with a person who's had a positive test for COVID or we're displaying symptoms. So while we're hitting 18,000 cases today, John, it doesn't mean we're about to head to lockdown. So thank goodness, I think we're about to enjoy our summer for once.
Yes, and but the other states now, Queensland and Victoria, how are they handling the Omicron? Because it's spreading almost magically everywhere.
Yes, absolutely. They're getting thousands and thousands of cases as well now. In particular, Queensland, where you've had a lot of holiday travellers heading up there, they had 14,000 yesterday, and I believe the numbers were very similar today too. But they followed New South Wales and effectively the federal government's plan in this respect, in that they are staying open. So you might remember about 18 months ago when Delta variant effectively hit Australia, Victoria down to the south there in Melbourne went into a really hard lockdown. They were basically out of action for about 12 full months where people couldn't leave the city, couldn't enter the city. This time round, scooting forward now 18 months, Victoria isn't going into lockdown. Victoria is keeping the same mandate the federal government's effectively asked the states to do, which is stay open, make sure people get tested, make sure the Omicron cases are tracked, but don't go into lockdown and panic. Queensland has taken a slightly different take. They have introduced a mask mandate, and that's basically because there's a lot more travellers in Queensland, a lot more tourists, a lot more venues where people will be going out to restaurants during this period. But that's all. Queensland is only introducing a mask mandate, so not in isolation by any means. In fact, you can cross the border much more easily now. You don't need a test to cross the border from New South Wales to Queensland or Victoria. So we're effectively open here in the eastern part of Australia.
And us, restaurants or bars or pubs, are they requiring vaccination proof at the door?
Not anymore, no. That's one of the biggest changes right now. While the owners of the establishments could ask for it, so there's no law preventing them from asking, according to the rules now, you don't actually have to provide proof of vaccination. And also, too, you don't actually have to check in. We used to have to check in via our phones to say where we were in New South Wales and in Victoria, and I believe now Queensland has introduced that as of the 1st of January too. There's no longer the close tracing that we had before. But what does happen is that if somebody does present to a hospital or does present to a testing station with COVID, that's when the authorities will effectively figure out where that person's been and then notify others that may have been in the same area. So it is a large relaxation of the rules, but the good news is that it's our next phase. It's how we're going to live with COVID as a virus into the future. And hopefully we're coming to the point now where, because so many Australians are vaccinated, it's becoming a new normal.
Now, Western Australia, you've told me for weeks now, Jeremy, that Western Australia has a different drummer. I think that's an appropriate metaphor here. They've remained locked down, no access or limited access from the rest of Australia, meaning that the regime there is hard-minded about Delta. How are they about Omicron?
Look, they are in absolute hard lockdown. As you said, John, they're marching to the beat of a totally different drum to the rest of Australia. The only people that can get in and out of Western Australia are people who need to do it for commercial reasons, aka people who are driving the trucks for fuel, for food, to keep Western Australians in basically open in some respect. But if you want to go there on holiday, if you want to go there just as a pure tourist, it is very, very difficult. You have to 14-day isolate either side. You have to get permission from the West Australian government to go there, and you have to effectively prove where you've been. And this is completely different to the rest of Australia, because the rest of Australia being open, Western Australia is going back the other way. In fact, they've declared that our state of Tasmania, South Australia, and even now New South Wales are called extreme risks. So anybody from those states effectively isn't allowed into Perth, Western Australia, or Western Australia in whole at all right now. And, you know, they do have the low COVID case numbers at the moment. They are basically in the dozens at best. But the reality is they're only testing very few people as well. So what I guess a lot of individuals and a lot of people who are watching this from the medical community are saying is that even though Western Australia is showing lower numbers right now, when they do eventually open, they're not as well practiced at how to deal with Omicron and COVID as the rest of Australia. So while it's good for Western Australia in the short term, in the long term, how they actually are going to deal with it is going to be up for contention.
You sent me a report from Western Australia about one particular train. Passengers on board the B-56 Australind train ride from Bunbury to Perth on Tuesday, December 28th, between 2:45 p.m. and 5:15 p.m., must get tested and isolate for 14 days. What is the Bunbury to Perth? Is that a long-distance train or a local train?
That is a relatively long-distance train. If my memory serves me correctly, that's about 4 to 6 hours. Bunbury is one of those regions just south of Perth, which is well-known for its tourists. It's a surfing area. It's near Margaret River, which is a wine region as well. So there is a lot of tourists and a lot of people who made it into Perth under these strict conditions. Anyone who's come from overseas would probably be down there. And unfortunately, on this Bunbury train heading up to Perth, there were a few COVID cases identified, and in fact, they were declared positive. But I might add that this is only a handful of cases. I mean, compared to the rest of Australia who's dealing with, you know, hundreds and thousands of cases on any given day, it just shows to the magnitude to which Perth and the West Australian government is very sensitive to even a small number of cases. Now, the 14 days isolation is a good point there too, John. This is where Perth is different to the rest of the country right now. While Western Australia still has a 14-day mandate, in New South Wales, in Queensland, in Victoria and South Australia, the isolation period is now down to 7 days. So this is, again, we're going into the next phase, but, you know, Western Australia, they're kind of lagging behind, unfortunately.
I see a graphic from Western Australia, maybe it's nationally, dividing Australia into, what is it, zones, five different risk zones. Where you live is said to be extreme risk. Same for Queensland, same for Victoria. Western Australia has no rating whatsoever. I see the premier there, Mark McGowan, is very prominent in tweeting. How is he regarded by the rest of Australia, locking down everything so firmly for so long?
He's coming to blows, I think, is probably the best way to put it, John, with a lot of the other state premiers and the federal government. The federal government, our Prime Minister Scott Morrison, while very diplomatic in how he refers to Western Australia, effectively as declared it, you know, kind of separate to the rest of the country in as far as the federal plan for COVID. South Australian Premier as well has also come to blows with Western Australia because they share a border, and effectively the South Australian Premier doesn't really see why Western Australia is going so hard. So not really looked at fondly. I mean, I guess you can understand why Western Australia is doing it, but I think everybody believes that just a little bit over the top right now.
Ashes. When last we spoke, it was decided that the Australia team had overwhelmed the English team. But the contest goes on next to Sydney. This sounds to me as looking to a super spreader event. If the game goes on in Sydney, are there going to be people allowed into the cricket grounds in Sydney to witness the next test?
Yes, luckily the Sydney Cricket Ground, the SCG, will be open to spectators, but you're right. The big concern is that there could be a super spreader event, especially with New South Wales numbers so high. And also, too, the English team has already copped COVID, I guess you could say, insofar as their English player, Travis Head, has had to be replaced because he's got a positive test result. So while the test starts on Wednesday, there is concern that over these next 48 hours leading up to the actual game, that COVID could have an impact on not only the teams playing, but also the support staff that are going to be working at the Sydney Cricket Ground, and also those that are going to be working at the venue outside effectively for like traffic management and crowd control too. So the Ashes are still steaming on, still moving forward, thank goodness. But at this point in time, everybody's just waiting to see what happens with COVID. And I mean, fingers crossed in this new era in how we work with COVID, that hopefully the Ashes will continue in some form and hopefully they will allow spectators into the Sydney Cricket Ground. But it is touch and go right now with just the sheer environment.
Finally, checking on the weather. La Nina comes to Australia first and now it's reached into California. How has your weather been these last days in Sydney? Is there a break in the rain?
Oh, there is. In fact, this morning, John, I'm looking at very blue skies out there. We're getting around 31 degrees, so looking at about 80s or 90s Fahrenheit. And it's just glorious. I might even go down to Bondi Beach after this and enjoy the weather. But the unfortunate thing is that we do have a cyclone off the coast of Queensland at the moment. It's approximately 700 kilometres to the east of Brisbane. And that weather system, while the cyclone itself is starting to lose power, it is bringing a lot of rain, a lot of tropical rain down. So Sydney, unfortunately, right now, we're going to enjoy the weather for a couple more days at least. But, you know, next week we could be getting some more downpours once again.
Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales reporting on Omicron spreading very quickly in all directions, as it is here in the east coast of the United States, as it is in Europe. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.